Biz Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Moran. On today's show, President Ramaphosa proposed the establishment of an economic war room in the presidency, and policy uncertainty in South Africa has reached a record high. The economist Walter Krichel also talks about economic indicators and the so-called second China shock. In international business news, the price of gold hit a record high. In investment news, Bidcorp remains a strong, reliable investment on the JSE. And we're joined by the founder and CEO of Just Green Strategies, Aradhna Pandarum. She will participate in the International Commodity Summit 2025, one of the top mining, energy, and agriculture events in South Africa, taking place from 17 to 20 November.
A look now at local business news.
The ANC has declared an economic emergency and introduced a 10-point plan aimed at reviving growth, creating jobs, and enhancing state capacity. ANC President Ramaphosa says the plan would include 10 interventions that align and support the work underway in all spheres of government. He also proposed the establishment of an economic war room in the presidency. Policy uncertainty in South Africa has reached a record high, with new data from the Northwest University showing growing concern over the country's economic and political direction. We asked Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis about this data's possible impact on the economy.
According to the Northwest University's Policy Uncertainty Index, policy uncertainty in South Africa in the third quarter of this year reached a new record high of 81. This was measured at 75.9 in the second quarter. So when we talk about policy uncertainty and the impact on the economy, we look at issues around investment, around government policy in terms of property rights and logistics, all sorts of variances. One also then ties this to investment sentiment. When there's more policy uncertainty in a given country, domestic and international investors and businesses are less likely to invest in that given country.
And the government has proposed a voluntary 3% levy towards the transformation fund for unlisted companies to gain automatic BEE level 3 status, but this poses many risks. Chris Hutton tells us more.
When one looks at some of the possible risks around this, while the proposal is presented as a voluntary contribution, the levy could be made compulsory in time, thereby pushing businesses operating with low profitability margins over the edge into failure. This is a significant risk in an environment where many businesses already contending with challenges that depress their margins, ranging from crime to logistics, water and electricity problems. The proposal also retains the race-based features of South Africa's public economic policy, which have resulted in severe market distortions and low growth. In this context, the Transformation Fund would be a prime target for corruption in a context where the leading party in the GNU, namely the ANC, is already facing scrutiny over its links to criminal networks.
We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Walter Krichel, on the line with us. Walter, the so-called second China shock.
Economists are keeping a close eye on high-frequency indicators to gauge how the economy is performing. In the third quarter, both business confidence and consumer confidence indices declined. However, September's Purchasing Managers Index and vehicle sales brought some surprises. APSA and the Bureau's PMI is now in positive territory at 52.2 points, driven mainly by stronger demand. Sub-indices for business activities and new sales increased, while the sub-index for purchasing prices edged up slightly. Unfortunately, the index measuring expected business conditions over the next 6 months declined again. New vehicle sales surprised while reaching an all-time record level in September, totaling 54,700 units, 15% higher than in September last year. The concerning part is that only 4 of the top 10 selling brands were locally manufactured vehicles. Except for Toyota, the major sellers were imported models from Suzuki, Hyundai, Great Wall Motors, Chery, Kia, and Mahindra. In a way, this is known as the second China shock, in which Chinese production of sophisticated products that are produced at scale and subsidized is now putting manufacturing in many other countries under a lot of pressure. Some people frequently think that China will somehow come to our rescue economically, but their competitive goods are actually putting a lot of pressure on manufacturing across the world, and particularly in South Africa.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Kregel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an Economics Associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Kregel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The price of gold hit a record high of more than $4,000 an ounce today. Investors are seeking safety amid global economic and political uncertainty. The price of gold has risen more than 25% since April, influenced by U.S. trade tariffs, the government shutdown, and a weaker dollar. Analysts say retailers, banks, and wealthy families are increasingly buying gold as a hedge against market uncertainty.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Bidcorp, that was once part of Bidvest, has flourished as a standalone company since its 2016 unbundling. The food services group, initially valued at 90 billion rand, is now worth 150 billion rand, with its share price rising from 270 rand to 444 rand. Revenue grew from 140.5 billion rand in 2016 to 235 billion this year, with shareholders receiving 21 billion rand in dividends. Bidcorp therefore remains a strong, reliable investment on the JSE. Before we say goodbye, we're joined by the founder and CEO of Just Green Strategies, Aradhna Pandarum. She will participate in the International Commodity Summit 2025, one of the top mining, energy and agriculture events in South Africa, taking place from 17 to 20 November. Aradhna, what are the repercussions of inaction toward renewables for humanity?
Should we not decarbonize, I think we face the risk of significant climate change impacts. And I think we've already been experiencing that in South Africa with the severe weather that we have seen in different provinces, especially in the Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. And I think in terms of that, you know, it also comes in play with the impacts on food and possibly water security that could also play a major role in terms of climate change impacts. I think moving on, I think we know about the health impacts. I think the numbers are not necessarily publicly shared, and I think some may be quite alarming in terms of understanding how many premature deaths there are because of air pollution in South Africa. And I think if we don't move on this journey towards decarbonization in the plans that we've already got in terms of the timelines, I think we would definitely see an increase number of premature deaths, as well as other health impacts like respiratory diseases, etc.
Which key economic opportunities are directly intertwined with the need for renewable energy?
I think in terms of looking at the whole ecosystem, I think we obviously need to look at it from a perspective of development of an ecosystem and not necessarily focus on one specific thing. And I think if we look at it from that perspective, we're not only enabling the creation of deep value chains, but also the possibility of, you know, the energy market that we are slowly starting to pick up in South Africa. And this encourages competition within the energy market. And I think here, you know, you get to a point where you actually are able to go onto an app and choose who you buy electricity from, at what price you buy it. And because of that, it creates a lot of competition in the market. And, you know, the older aged assets that are more expensive would actually be phased out, or, you know, run a risk of being phased out because they are not competitive in the specific market. But from a consumer perspective, that would actually be a little bit of a benefit for us, because our tariffs would actually have a little bit of a reduced cost because of the competitiveness.
Which emerging industries will be born from the demand for renewable energy?
There's huge opportunity for energy storage. And I think if we do want to decarbonize and use renewable energy as much as possible, it does need to come with energy storage or battery storage. And we have seen that, you know, we in South Africa have created one of the larger battery storage projects and have installed quite a few large-scale battery storage projects through Eskom. But I think in terms of expansion of this value chain, we'll definitely see much more of that. And I think the first battery energy storage independent power producer procurement program, Bidwindow, was actually a sign of that and you know, a relation in terms of how we can actually use energy storage and battery storage in the renewable energy value chains.
And that was the founder and CEO of Just Green Strategies, Aradhna Pandarum. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.